There's an incident that I can remember as if it happened yesterday. But it happened when I was an eighth grade student at Phoenixville Area Junior High School. So that would put it back 1967, 1968, somewhere in that vicinity. French was a mandatory subject for every student. And if you've taken a foreign language, you may have experienced what I had to experience. Every so often, you would go into the school's language lab. Anyone ever have one of them? A little cubicle glass in the front that you could see the teacher could see you, but partitioned off so that the person on either side of you could not hear you or you could not hear them. That way, the teacher could call upon you to answer a question, and you would have earphones on with a microphone in front of it, and she could hear, or he could hear, in this case it was a she, exactly how you're saying the words, whether you're pronouncing them correctly or not. I had French the last period of the day, and by the last period of the day, I was tired of school. I was an eighth grader. Everybody was tired of school in the eighth grade. And this one day I remember the teacher saying that she had to step out of the room for a minute or two. And she was putting a tape on, and we were to listen to the tape and to respond to the questions that were on the tape. Now, I was no Einstein. But I knew that if the teacher wasn't there, there would be no one to listen to see if you were answering the questions or not. And so, while the cat's away, the mice will play. This one was a rat. As soon as I was sure that she was out of the room, the headphones came off, hung up on the side of the hook that was there. I just laid back. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to close my eyes here for a second or two and take it easy. I didn't go to sleep, just wanted to relax. And I did, for about 30 seconds. I thought, okay, better open up the eyes, and I did. And in the reflection of the glass in front of me was the image of the teacher standing behind me. I want you to know I was answering questions in French pretty quickly. Now, I was never in trouble in school. Never had to stay after school detention. Never had to go to the principal's office. Never had to do anything of extra nature. I was a good kid with a sin nature. I was like most eighth graders, really couldn't care less about school. I did what was necessary. In fact, I did fairly well grade-wise. But I wasn't really interested in being a student. And the opportunity presented itself to take it easy. That's what I was going to do. The teacher was away. I bring this up because in John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going away. And those disciples, even though they had a better ethic concerning their course in life than I had when I was in the eighth grade, they have the same or had the same, exact same sin nature that I possessed. And it would have been very easy for them. Hey, he's gone. We can do whatever we want. Now, I don't think they would have had an attitude like that. But I think there would have been a kind of a little bit of a nonchalant attitude as to what they were going to do. And in verse 15, I think Jesus recognizes the possibility of what might take place. And he says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, what are the disciples going to say? Well, we don't really love you. Now, that, they wouldn't say that, even if it was true, but it wasn't true. They did love him. So now they're under the obligation to obey what Jesus would or did tell them to do. And recognizing that they would be without somebody watching over them, he tells them this, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." There are some grammatical things in verse 16 that I need to deal with. It may be just a tad tedious, but it's important to deal with these things. I will pray, literally, I will ask the Father. And when Jesus asks, it's not uncertain as to what the Father is going to do. It says in verse 16, "And he shall give you." There's no uncertainty about it. This is Jesus is going to ask, and it's going to be done. So they could expect another comforter in time. Second thing that we need to deal with is this word "another." In the Greek language, there are two words that can be translated by the one English word "another." The one is "alos," the other is "heteros." Heteros is another of a different kind. Alos is another of the same kind. That is the word that is used here, alos. Another of the same kind of comforter. Well, another of the same kind of who or what? The answer to that question is found in the text here. And the answer, let me just put it this way, is the person of Jesus Christ. In verse 17, the Comforter is called the Spirit of Truth. Just a minute probably before in time verse 16 was stated, Jesus said in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth." So there's an identification there, the Spirit of Truth, and I am truth, another just like me. This word "comforter" is the Greek word parakletos. It is used four times in the Gospel of John, all within the Upper Room Discourse. Here, 14, verse 16, chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, and then chapter 16, verse 7. Everywhere, those four places, it's translated "comforter." But it is also used over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a parakletos, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." There, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus is specifically called a parakletos. Another like him. So John is saying, or John is recording what Jesus was saying here, "I'm going to give you somebody who will be just like me. A comforter." Well, the word "comforter," parakletos, describes a person. What does a comforter do? Well, let me give you an analogy. In baseball, what does a pitcher do? He pitches. And what does he pitch? A pitch. It will be a baseball, but here comes the pitch. It describes both an action and a thing. Well, the comforter comforts with comfort. Two other Greek words that are used here to describe this. Paraklesis is the noun form. It is translated in the New Testament 14 times by the word consolation. 8 times by the word exhortation, 6 times by the word comfort, and once by the word entreaty. The verb form parakaleo is translated 43 times beseech, 23 times to comfort, and 21 times to exhort. So this word has the idea of one who is going to be telling another, beseeching another, do this or don't do this. It is going to be one who will be comforting another in times of sorrow or discouragement. And it will be one who will be exhorting a person. You need to get going here. So there's various ways that this word is used, and Jesus did all three of those things in his ministry. He said, I want you to be doing this. I'm encouraging you, exhorting you to do this. Oh, you're sad? Let me put an arm around you and comfort you. He's saying, I'm going to give you one who will do exactly those things, just the way that I did that to you. But now there's a difference. The end of verse 16, that he may abide with you forever. I've been with you for 3 years, and I'm going away. He will be with you forever. He is called the Spirit of the truth, who the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him, neither does it know him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you. That's speaking of Jesus. And shall be, that's speaking of the Holy Spirit, in you. Jesus was literally the first use here. He dwelleth with you or around you. I've been around you for 3 years. But the Holy Spirit, the other comforter who is like me that will come, will actually be in you. I am visible to you. He will not be visible. But yet, in the same way that you have known me, you will know him, and he will minister to you. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. But the Greek word here has nothing to do with the parakletos or paraklesis. It's a different word altogether. It's orphanos. You can hear our English word orphan. An orphan is a person who has no parental guidance. No one to exhort, comfort, set down standards of I want you to do this or not do this. The Holy Spirit is going to take that position, and consequently, the disciples will be as one who has one giving them supervision. Verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me because I live. You shall live also. When I'm out of here, the life that I've given to you isn't going to go with me. It will continue on. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So there's a trinity here between God the Father, God the Son, and now the Holy Spirit in the disciples. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Now, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you are going to prove that you love me. And when that love becomes evident, my Father and I will manifest our love to you. You'll know it. Why? Because a comforter puts an arm around and comforts. One who loves encourages and exhorts. One who loves sets standards and says, do this, don't do that. There was great confusion. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Isn't it interesting in this chapter? Jesus said, In my Father's house are many mansions, and that's where I'm going. And you know the way. Thomas said, how can we know the way? We don't know where you're going. Well, Philip comes along after Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip says, show us the Father. We don't understand what you're saying. Now Jesus is talking about the coming of a comforter. And Judas, who is also Labius or Thaddeus, what in the world are you talking about? How can the world not see him, and yet we'll see him? Well, he's thinking of a physical person, but he's the Holy Spirit. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, the Parakletos, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I have heard this verse mistaught pretty badly. People have used this verse and a verse similar to it that's found in John chapter 16, where Jesus says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. But when the Comforter has come, he'll remind you of those things. He'll teach you all things. People have said that these two verses indicate a continuing revelation to all of God's people. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Who is he speaking to here in verse 16? But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Well, in order to remember something, you had to first know it. So therefore, when he's talking about these things, he's talking about the things that the apostles themselves once knew during the earthly teaching ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I weren't there. Maybe Roy was. But the rest of us weren't. So it is impossible for us to bring them to remembrance. We weren't there. However, when the Holy Spirit brought them to the remembrance of the apostles, guess what they did with them? Wrote them down. And consequently, we can know those things that the Holy Spirit brought to their remembrance. And there is a continuing aspect, not because of continuing revelation, but inscripturated revelation. The many things that they were not able to bear, in time they were. And God revealed them through the Holy Spirit. They wrote them down. And we have the benefit of that. So what he's saying here is this. I'm going away. Don't think that you can get away with taking a nap during French class. It's not going to happen. I'm going to send you one just like me who will watch over you with a parental love, authority, and ministry. He will be not only around you like I was, but he will indwell you. He will never, ever go away. Not only that, he'll be with the church literally unto the ages of ages. It's the way the Greek reads. Forever. It's not just a first century thing. The ministry of the Holy Spirit will continue on till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. So the question is, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's something that we need to constantly ask ourselves. Interestingly enough, when we get to John chapter 21, and one of the commandments that Jesus would give to the disciples was, I want you to go up to Galilee and there I will meet you. Well, they did go up to Galilee, but remember what Peter said? Let's go fishing. And they go out and they fish all night and they catch nothing. And morning they catch the miraculous catch of fish. And Peter jumps overboard and runs to the shore, swims to the shore. And they're sitting around having breakfast. And what does Jesus say to Peter? Peter, do you love me? See, if you really loved me, you would have kept that commandment. You would have seen me last night, not wasting your time. But you said, I want to go back and do a little fishing. I know, I didn't either. I was looking at Janet. Yeah. We need to ask ourselves, how much do I really love Jesus? I will confess to you, and it's not a confession of wrongdoing, it's a confession of experience. I had a terrible time the middle of this week. I was being attacked in my thoughts right and left. And I found the thoughts to be very repulsive. But remember, temptation always has a tempting side to it. It looked good. But then I asked myself, how much do I love Jesus Christ? Do I really want to dishonor my Savior this way? Guess what? The thoughts stopped. There for a while, they were coming fast and furious. And I said to the Lord, Lord, what in the world's going on here? I was sitting studying, trying to do God's will. And all these wicked thoughts were coming into my mind. And when I asked myself the question, do I love the Lord? And the answer is, uh-huh. Thoughts ceased. If you love me, keep my commandments. What were the commandments? Well, there was one previous to this. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. A commandment would come within the next moment or so. It's not recorded in John's gospel, but it is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. There was the commandment that I just made reference to about at post-resurrection, I want you to go up into Galilee. There were other commandments, I believe, during the post-resurrection ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then by way of application, anything that was commanded in the New Testament, in that it's the Word of God, was a command of Christ. We're responsible for it all. Oh, but that's asking a lot. That's asking us to sit in a French class, which is dull and boring, at the end of a school day, and you want to take a little nap. Do you love me? Didn't love that French teacher. Had no, obviously, I'm not talking romantically. I'm talking just a care for her. I couldn't care less. Consequently, my actions proved it. Do you love me? Keep my commandments. Let's pray, Father. Our numbers are just a few tonight, but our Savior is so, so wonderful. Lord, we ask that as we travel to our homes tonight, that you'll watch over us and keep us safe in our travels. But even more so, when the enemy attacks, may our minds just repeat this question tonight. If you love me, keep my commandments. So how much do you love me? That we might walk worthy of the vocation to which we're called. And thankful for the salvation that we enjoy. And we'll praise you as we ask in the name of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. Good week.